You're listening to the KBOO Evening News. This is a volunteer-produced newscast, and we encourage your participation. Call us with your breaking news story at 503-231-8032. Our production team for tonight's newscast is Alan Monticello, Nicole Weinstock, Doug McVeigh, Jim Thompson, and Cliff Verla, with special thanks to Chris Andre. Our engineer is Sequoina Wright. The KBOO Evening News and Public Affairs Director is Jenka Soderberg. A podcast of local stories from this newscast is available on our website at kboo.fm/eveningnews, or look for us on Twitter at KBOO News. I'm Nicole Weinstock.
And I'm Doug McVeigh. Here's what's coming up tomorrow morning on KBOO. From 7 to 8, it's Democracy Now!, a news magazine hosted by award-winning journalists Amy Goodman and Juan Gonzalez. At 8, Wednesday Talk Radio. Paul Rowland delivers news and commentary on local, national, and international issues and invites your calls. At 9, on Political Perspectives, Jenka Soderberg looks at the case of Tristan Anderson, who was severely disabled when he was shot by a tear gas canister at a nonviolent protest against the Israeli wall. She speaks with Tristan's partner, Gabby Silverman, for an update on the lawsuit. At 10 o'clock, hear Air Cascadia. Headlines, interviews, and commentary hosted by Chris Andre. Stay tuned at 10:15 for Flashpoints, investigative news radio with host Dennis Bernstein. And at 11, it's The Dirt Bag. On tomorrow's show, Don Smallman, curator of the Portland Eco Film Festival, talks about the gardening-related films. Other topics include composting, bees, and the importance of hardening off your veggie starts. And as always, Glenn will answer your gardening questions.
Stay tuned now for a KBOO in-depth report covering a book about the hidden history of Israel that has raised more than a bit of controversy. Good night, Doug.
Good night, Nicole.
KBOO News In Depth, where we take a deeper look at the top news stories impacting our community.
Allison Weir is a journalist and the executive director of If Americans Knew, a nonprofit organization dedicated to providing Americans with information on topics of importance that are misreported or underreported in the American media. She's also on the board of directors of the Council for the National Interest. Her newest book is called Against Our Better Judgment, The Hidden History of How the U.S. Was Used to Create Israel. Ms. Weir wanted to advertise her book in the American Historical Review, a journal from the American Historical Association. The American Historical Association was founded in 1884 and chartered by Congress in 1889 to serve the interests of the entire discipline of history. The association turned down her ad. I spoke with AHA's executive director, Jim Grossman, to find out why.
Yes, the advertisement was outside the scope and mission of our organization.
Any specifics on that, or was there any particular? Or
well, every publication has a scope and mission, and the book, the advertisement, was for a book that has been, and it wasn't any one of these single things, but it's a combination. It has been neither peer-reviewed nor, even though it was out 13 months, reviewed in any kind of mainstream press. And it seems to us more a fringe publication. The ad was more advocacy, and that's simply not the goal and scope of our publications.
Mr. Grossman, I thank you very much. That was Lloyd Grossman, executive director of the American Historical Association. His explanation doesn't convince Ms. Weir. Ms. Weir, the American Historical Association chose to not accept an ad for your new book, Against Our Better Judgment, The Hidden History of How the U.S. Was Used to Create Israel. Did they give you any reasons for that?
Well, they claimed several reasons, but none of them really hold water. The one that they're most focusing on now, that there's getting some additional scrutiny, is they're claiming that because my book was independently published, not published by an academic or commercial press, that therefore they assume it did not go through peer review, and they say that's the reason they did not publish the advertisement. However, I looked back to their advertising quickly, and I found one full-page ad for a book that was self-published. So, you know, clearly they have and do publish self-advertisements for some books that are self-published, but they would not do the one for mine, even though mine did go actually through quite a rigorous fact-checking process before we published it.
Could you tell us something about your book?
Yes, it goes through the beginnings of the movement that created Israel, which is called political Zionism. It began in the U.S. in the late 1800s, about the same time as Europe. But my book focuses, of course, on the U.S. connection. So it tells about this very ideological, non-religious movement that began, was very active in the United States by the late 1800s. By 1910, there are 20,000 Zionists that included businessmen and professors and attorneys, and was already a movement that was considered significant to politicians, ambitious politicians in the large cities, especially large eastern cities, were already paying attention to Zionists. It played a significant role throughout the 1900s. And was really, I think it's quite clear that it's this movement is the reason that the U.S. Ended up supporting Israel to the degree that it does now. Because originally, the State Department and the Pentagon were very much opposed to supporting Zionism. Major segments of the U.S. establishment opposed Zionism from the beginning as being contrary to American principles, and also that because it would be, they predicted quite accurately, would be very damaging to U.S. interests and even to U.S. strategic interests. So my book is thoroughly cited. I have over 300 footnotes, so people can look exactly to see where my information came from and determine for themselves what they think about it. The idea of the advertisement was just to tell people interested in history about a new history book that's thoroughly cited, that contains information about history that I think would be very interesting to people from a number of disciplines, U.S. history, modern European history, British history, history of the Middle East, of course. And then that information could be studied, considered, debated, all the things that we expect from historians. So it was very disappointing that the managers of the American Historical Association would not publish the advertisement. You know, this is a paid advertisement, and yet they would not put it in their publications.
It's curious. Has the AHA, the American Historical Association, in the past ever addressed controversies involving Palestine and Israel?
Well, they have. The organization has been very involved at its last general meeting about the question of Israel-Palestine, because some members wanted to introduce a resolution to boycott Israel, the same type of resolution that has been passed by some other academic associations, such as the American History Association. Anthropology, it looks like, has discussed this, and it's expected that they will pass a boycott resolution of that sort. Ethnic studies, a number of ethnic studies groups have passed such resolutions. So it was introduced at the American Historical Association annual meeting. But it ended up, the first resolution that was introduced apparently did not have enough signatories, they say. So then another resolution was introduced. That one missed the deadline. So then that group tried to suspend the rules so that it could still be discussed, but they were not able to do that. So it's an ongoing discussion. It's expected at the next annual meeting that it will come up again. And this is a reason I thought that was even more important. I would think that people within an organization, when there's a topic that is being debated and discussed really often very heatedly, as we know, that they would feel it would be important to have full information on that topic, on the history of that issue. So that made it even more troubling that AHA management prohibited this advertisement from being placed in their publications.
Now, you're asking the AHA's executive committee members to rescind the decision by the journal. Have you had any response at all yet?
Well, I initially had a response from their executive director, Jim Grossman. And I'm sort of assuming that he's the one that made that recommendation. That's usually how organizations would work. An executive director would decide something and then maybe then at that point tell the executive committee that this is what he recommends. And in most cases, I've been on boards also, in most cases you just accept what your executive director has recommended. So I was able to speak to him on the phone, and he gave me several reasons why he, you know, says why they decided not to publish the advertisement. One was that it supposedly didn't fit into the scope of the mission of the American Historical Association. Well, if you look at this, I couldn't really find a mission statement per se, but there's a section that tells about why it was founded, why it was actually even chartered by Congress to further the study of history. So I don't quite see how a book on history that's thoroughly sourced falls outside that scope. So to me, that seemed really unlikely. And he admitted he had not even read the book. So how could he determine it fell outside the scope of the mission if he didn't even know what it contained? But that's one reason, he said. Another reason was that it was self-published and therefore didn't go through peer review. In reality, we did, in a sense, do that. We had a very thorough fact check where another person went through each fact to make sure that it was accurate and that my citation was accurate. We also had another expert in the field look at the manuscript ahead of time. But he didn't ask if that had been done. You know, they just assumed, since we had published it ourselves, that, you know, it was not peer-reviewed, it was independently published, and therefore, you know, they wouldn't run an advertisement for it. Let me think. Another reason, oh, yes, he claimed that it was advocacy. And again, I asked him, how could he determine it was advocacy if he hadn't even read the book? By the way, it's not. It's really just a factual history book. So then he backtracked and said, well, it wasn't, the book itself wasn't. It was that the advertisement was supposedly advocacy. But the advertisement was just a very standard advertisement for a book, with blurbs from reviewers saying that it was, you know, an excellent book, all the type of things that you put in an advertisement for a book, just the typical thing. So you know, that made no sense. And then he claimed, well, that it had not been reviewed in the mainstream media, what many of us call the corporate media. Well, it was actually reviewed in a number of places, including the Washington Report on Middle East Affairs, which is, many people feel, is the best publication on that region and on that topic. So, you know, that should, you know, that again makes it look like he was coming up with a statement that was not false. So I don't know. I still don't know what the real reason was for refusing our advertisement. But by now, I'm beginning to think it was the topic, not the way it was published. That was the problem.
I looked over their website just to confirm for myself, and there, as you said, there are no guidelines about the particular press from which that needs to be the publisher. Basically, none of the reasons that came from the AHA seem to be backed up by anything on their site. I did find something interesting, though, and I wondered if you'd want to comment on this from the section about their journal. It's the About section for the American Historical Review. Quote, for most of its long history, the AHR was essentially self-published, end quote.
Oh, that's very interesting. I did not notice that. that's an interesting situation. It would be interesting if you were able to call Mr. Grossman and ask for his comments about all of this and hear what he would have to say. I know another journalist has been trying to contact him, and he refuses to answer questions in that particular case. By the way, I did write an article about this that was published on Counterpunch called Keeping Hidden History Hidden. Since, you know, it was sort of appropriate. The subtitle for my book is The Hidden History. And here we have, you know, AHA management hiding this history, it appears. So.
And I also see that Eric Zeus, I hope I'm getting his last name right, did a write-up on this whole situation recently in, I think it was Countercurrents?
That's right, yes. It was, that was a wonderful surprise. I don't know much about him. I had seen his name before. I think I've seen some of his articles. This is an author who is a historian, who's written a number of books, who saw the Counterpunch article and looked into my book and into me personally and said very complimentary things about me and basically said he found it outrageous that AHA had refused to publish the advertisement.
Excellent. And then people can also check your website to find out more. And that's ifamericansknew.org?
That's correct. And there's also a website for the book itself, which is just againstourbetterjudgment.org, that tells about my various book events around the country.
Are you going to be coming up to the Pacific Northwest anytime soon?
I would love to. I've actually been around the West and the South and the East, all along the East Coast, but not in the Pacific Northwest with this book, so I would love to do that.
Well, hopefully we'll be hearing you up here sometime soon.